If you're glad, he's enough.
I will be content.
We're content.
Every circumstance.
Just lift those hands in his presence. Jireh, you're enough. You're more than enough. You're more than enough. You're more than enough. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. On this last Sunday of 2021, looking out over 2022, as believers, we declare today, you're more than enough. You're more than enough. You're more than enough. Sing the chorus.
You are enough, Jireh. You are enough.
Can you lift those hands and just say it together?
And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough.
If you're glad today that he's enough, clap your hands and give Jesus praise today. Come on, I want you to give him the best praise you've given him all day long. And if you're thankful today for Calvary worship, clap your hands and give God praise. Wow. Wow. Well, I want to say good morning and welcome to the Crossover Experience. And I want to welcome those of you especially who are here today in person. Give yourselves a good hand clap. Come on. Finishing the year strong. Come on. I want to welcome everyone tuning in online or in some other digital format out there. We're so glad that you are with us. You know, the Crossover Experience is simply an opportunity to celebrate crossing over from 2021 to 2022. And as believers, I think we know, or we should, that nothing magical, nothing mystical happens simply because we flip a page on a calendar, but we do take time to celebrate the fact that no matter what we have faced or had to conquer this past year, how many of us can say God has been faithful? Come on. God has been faithful. God has been faithful. I'm waiting for a church to wake up. Come on. He who said it, come on, is faithful. You believe that, church? He's faithful. So this week and next week, we're going to break away from our typical format of points and elaboration, and instead operate, I believe, in more of a prophetic flow where we encourage each other and prepare ourselves for the great things that God has in store for us as a church. And I'll say this, as an apostolic leader, I believe not only as a local church, but as a family of churches in this season. And I truly believe this is about us participating in what I'm declaring this year over you, God's restoration for every aspect of our lives and ministries. So quickly today, I don't know how far we're going to go, but I'll take just a few minutes, and I really want you to receive today. Grab your Bibles, turn with me please to Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3. And don't forget, there is a place for notes and scriptures on the Calvary app under the More tab. Ruth chapter 3, I want to read verse number 18. See if we have time to get back to it. Then Naomi said, wait, there's another word there, rest. Rest, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest until he has settled it today. Then Naomi said, wait, or rest, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest until he settles it today. Lift up one or both of your hands, and I want you to say it out loud. Say, I will rest and receive God's restoration. With one or both hands lifted out loud, say, in 2022, I will rest and receive God's restoration. If you believe it, say yes. If I were to ask you, church, do you know who you are? Your immediate answer, I think, would be, of course I do. But can you imagine what it would be like if suddenly you lost all of your memory of your name, where you lived, who your spouse was, who your children were, where you worked? It would be terrifying. There is enormous security in knowing who you are. That's the reason people, I think, are so reluctant to change. They are secure in what they know, and they're very fearful about what they don't know. Well, it's also a necessity, church, that you know who you are. And when I say that, know who you are, I'm talking about, believer, who you have become. You've got to know who you have become in Christ Jesus. Because you are a new creature in your spirit, in your born again spirit. I love, during the pre-experience today at 9 a.m. online, we reviewed some of the series that we've been in over the past year, and it's amazing how all year long this church just hears the gospel over and over and over, and we remind you of who you are. Why? Because you have to re-educate your mind to think that way now. You've got to begin to be transformed in your mind. Begin to believe what God says true about you already in your born-again spirit. That you are a saint and you are a trophy of Christ's victory. That you are eternally redeemed and completely forgiven. Y'all, when I talk to you, come on, you got to realize I'm not talking to who you were in Adam. I'm talking to who you are in Christ. At Calvary Church, when I talk to you, you ought to smile when I tell you who you are. That you are seated with Christ in heavenly realms. That you are righteous. That you are holy. That you are blameless. That you are healed. And you are strong in the Lord. That you are highly favored. Folks saying, well, what's the new word that God's given for the new year? God's not given a new word. He's saying the same thing he's always said. He's saying that you are highly favored. That you are blessed with every spiritual blessing, that you are a joint heir with Christ, that you are bona fide, that you are qualified, that you are anointed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, that you are more than a conqueror. Watch, through Christ Jesus. And if I have a church that believes it, clap your hands and give God praise right now. And at least 500 of you holler, thank you, Jesus. But watch. You won't benefit from these truths until you convince yourselves of them. No more than a billionaire would benefit from his bank account if he didn't know it was there. And church, this is the condition I really believe that the body of Christ is in. We have been ignorant of who we are in Jesus. We have been ignorant of the rights and the privileges that are ours as believers under what the Bible calls a new and a better covenant. Wow, to be ignorant simply means to not be aware of it, whatever it is. You're not aware of it. This has been exactly Satan's strategy against the church. The Bible says in Hosea 4 verse 6, watch, my people are destroyed because of the devil. Nope, it says my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowing. They're ignorant of who they are and what they've got. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given unto us all things. Everybody holler out, all things. You've got all things. It doesn't say some things. It doesn't say a few things. It doesn't say a couple of things. What does it say? His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through, there you go, the knowledge, knowing him. If Satan can keep believers ignorant about who they have become, if he can keep them ignorant of their rights as sons of the King, Pastor Chris said it a moment ago, as priests and kings, he can keep them in bondage, even though the Bible says the law of liberty in Christ has been put into full effect. Ignorance can be very costly. That's why, church, you better hear me as we look out over this new year. I don't know what's going on in every other church, but I know about this church. That is why you need to daily study the Word of God in light of the new covenant. That is why you need to take advantage of Grace Walk and gospel circles in the spring and in the summer and in the fall. That is why some of you this year, you need to step out and say, I'm going to trust God and I'm going to go through Gospel Institute. I'm going to hear the gospel preached. I'm going to stay planted in a gospel church, hear it preach, and I'm going to trust the Spirit to teach me and expose area of ignorance in my life so that I can be, here's the word, well equipped. That's why I'm starting a series in January 9th, called Mature Audiences Only, and I'm going to warn you, this may offend immature believers. So I'm letting you know up front. It's time for the church to be equipped. I didn't say hyped up. I didn't say worked up. A church that's equipped. In Ephesians 4, I don't have time to teach on all this, but in Ephesians 4, Paul described what he calls the equipping ministries. God has blessed you. He's given you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. They're called equipping ministries that God gave to the church. And then in verses 12 and 13 of that Ephesians 4, he says that God's people are to be equipped for what? The work of serving and building up the body of Christ until we reach the unity of faith. Here it is. In knowing the knowledge of God's Son. It goes on to say that God's goal is for us to become mature adults, fully grown, measured by the standard of the fullness of Christ. I wrote in my book, Captured by Grace, and I quote, sadly, our pulpits have been flooded with loud messages about politics, morality, rules, self-help programs, psychological manipulation, and rhetoric divorced from the heart of God, which is the gospel. But I came to prophesy today, I believe God is raising up true apostles to govern in grace, true prophets to guide in grace, true evangelists to gather in grace, true pastors to guard in grace, true teachers to ground in grace, and true believers who say, I want to grow in God's grace. By the way, that is the gospel. The gospel is good news. The gospel of God's grace is good news. But watch, if I ask the church, what is the news and what makes it so good? If you don't know, that means there's ignorance. And watch, you aren't getting what Jesus already paid for. I wish the church would understand, we ain't trying to work anything up. We're simply receiving what Jesus has already accomplished. You want to know why the church is so worn out, so tired, so weary, so burned out? Watch, because they're on a treasure hunt and don't realize the treasure's already in their belly. Matter of fact, lift up one or both of your hands and out loud say, I've already got it. Matter of fact, say it. That takes faith. Say, I already got it. If you believe it, clap your hands and give God praise. Come on, upper tier. Do it like you believe it. I've already got it. Jesus has, past tense, has already purchased every blessing for you at the cross. And I felt strong about this over the last 2 months, that as I close this year and go into next year, watch, some of us need to wake up to the reality that what he has purchased includes your restoration. Many believers are ignorant about their rights to God's restoration. So what do? Now I'm talking to you. They stay stuck in wasted years. broken dreams, wrecked relationships, squandered income, and I believe that it is time for you to know the truth. By the way, the Bible says it's the truth you know that sets you free. You'll hear people say, well, it's the truth that sets you free. No, it doesn't say that. It says it's the truth you know. Some of you are ignorant to the truth. Whatever your losses may be, I declare over you that it is time to position. I hear the Spirit of God speaking over Calvary Church at every location. It is time for you to position yourself to receive God's restoration. And if I have a church that believes it, clap your hands and give God praise. Come on. Kim and I made a decision. If you don't want it, we want it. Because I'm going to tell you what I'm believing for this year. Flip back to Ruth chapter 1. Go. Ruth was a young woman, married for a few years, looking forward to an enjoyable family life with children of her own. And then the Bible says that the unimaginable happened. Her husband suddenly died. Loss. Overnight, all of her hopes, all of her dreams were dashed. Her future was now uncertain. And although her mother-in-law, Naomi, urged her to return to her own town for a fresh start, the young woman refused. And look at verse 16 of Ruth chapter 1. Ruth said to Naomi, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. Look what she says. For where you go, that's where I'm going. And where you lodge, that's where I'm lodging. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And with those words, church, one of the most beautiful love stories of the Bible unfolds. And beyond being just a love story, you need to understand that it is also a picture of God's amazing restoration in our own lives in Jesus Christ, our heavenly Boaz. And when Ruth followed Naomi, her mother-in-law, to Israel, she soon found herself in a less than ideal position. She was a Moabite among a people often in conflict with Moab and had no husband to protect her. So in the natural, it seemed as if all the odds were stacked against her. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody today who felt like all the odds have been stacked against you. I get it. Over the last couple of years, there have been many people who have felt that way, like the odds were stacked against them. The instability of the financial world, the volatility of the markets, the housing market, the stock markets, the seemingly insurmountable battle trying to navigate a pandemic, among many, many other things, have caused so many of us to feel like we are fighting an uphill battle without a weapon. But the good news for us, church, as believers, is that our God specializes in empowering underdogs to victory. And if you're here today and you feel like you've got the odds stacked against you, then let me encourage you. You are a prime candidate for God to do a great work in and through you. Listen to me. If I got believers in here, out loud, say yes. God loves showing up when the odds are stacked against us. Don't lose hope. If you feel like you are holding the short end of the stick, if you're thankful for that, somebody say yes. Ruth did not dwell on her unfavorable circumstances. Boy, I'm watching the church just dwell on all the stuff going on around them. But her declaration of faith in God revealed what? Her dependence on the Lord, whom she looked to for favor and divine opportunities. Jump to Ruth chapter 2. Go, we're taking a walk. Ruth 2, look at verse number 2. Ruth said to Naomi, perhaps I can go out into the fields of some kind man to glean the free grain behind his reapers. Listen, Ruth's trust in the Lord as she embarked on the ordinary task of finding work to support her mother-in-law and herself is really what became her launching pad to God's restoration in her life. God gave Ruth favor to glean the barley harvest in the field of Boaz. He was a wealthy man who happened to be a close relative of her late husband. And Boaz was extremely kind to Ruth, allowing her to gather more than enough grain in his field for both her and her mother-in-law's daily needs. But God had more in mind than mere survival for Ruth. I wish the church understood this, that God is not interested in you just surviving this year. In Christ Jesus, you will thrive. She gave birth to a child named Obed, who became the grandfather of King David, and whose name was recorded in the ancestry of Jesus. I just am taking you on a walk. Think about it. Ruth herself is named in the genealogy of Jesus. So when it seemed impossible in the natural, Ruth's life, I'm prophesying over you, and some of you don't even realize it. Ruth's life went from empty to full. From not enough, watch, to more than enough. Are y'all getting this? Imagine going from having no family to having a loving husband and a son, from being destitute to being well provided for, from surviving to thriving, from being an outcast to being not just an accepted, well-loved member of society, but watch, you are a part of the lineage of Jesus himself. What a turnaround. What a breakthrough. What amazing restoration. And I don't know, maybe you can identify with what Ruth had gone through before she met Boaz. Maybe you're at a place, boy, there's just been a flow today. I heard Kim talk about it, Pastor Kim, a moment ago, that maybe some of you are at a place where your hopes have been crushed. Maybe a series of events have shattered your dreams. Some of you left you with a bleak future as you look out over this new year. Maybe you're saying to yourself, some of you have already said, it's over for me. I've got good news for you, and I feel like prophesying. Lift up one or both of your hands. I hear the Spirit of God saying today, God wants you to know. It's a simple word, but you better grab it, church. It is not over. If you believe it, clap your hands and give God praise. I'm declaring that His powerful restoration is available to you right now. Clap your hands and bless His name. Hallelujah. Push pause for just a second on Ruth. I'll come back to her in just a minute, but check this promise out. I don't have time to teach on this today, and I'm not even going to try, but there's a word. Joel 2:25 says this, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. The meaning of that promise is clear. If I were to teach on this, God's people had suffered the complete destruction of their entire harvest through what? Swarms of locusts, crawling locusts, consuming locusts, chewing locusts that marched like an insect army through the fields, destroying the crops, multiplying their number as they went. For four consecutive years, their harvest was completely wiped out. God's people were brought to their knees. That's how some of you feel. But chapter 2, Joel verses 18 and 19. I love this. The Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. And the Lord said, I am sending you grain, new wine, and olive oil enough to satisfy you. And in the coming years, God said what? Their fields would yield an abundance that would make up, y'all are missing this, that would more than make up for what they had lost. Look at verse 24, 26 of Joel. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vast will overflow with new wine and oil. You will have plenty to eat until you are full. And this wonderful promise for those people meant that there's going to be years of abundant harvest that's going to follow years of desolation that was brought about by locusts. I prophesy over you, lift your hands. I prophesy in Jesus' name, years of abundant harvest will follow years of desolation brought about by locusts. And if I got a church that believes it, give God praise right now. And at least 600 of you holler, thank you, Jesus. Wake up! What do lost years look like? See, some of you, if I could teach on each one of these, I'd touch on it, but I don't have time. What do lost years look like? Lost years, or I call them locust years, are years that you can't get back, and they come in a variety. I could teach on this. You may want to write it down if you can, but just watch. Lost years are fruitless years. A lot of hard work. Some of you feel like, man, I put so much work in this thing. Year after year, month after month, day after day. And there's just been massive disappointment. I just feel like, what has come of all my time and all of my efforts? Some of you know about fruitless years, but lost years are painful years. Well, I was trying to navigate, you know, a church through a pandemic, you know. I began 2021 with personal loss. I was just thinking about two of my mentors, Pastor Jadon George and Bishop Tony Miller, suddenly died. Two fathering voices in my life were gone, and God began to show me that there was a spiritual shift that was taking place. And rather, I felt the Spirit of God say, rather than seeking another father's voice, it's now time for you to father others. Loss is painful. And it's an integral part of life, and I've realized, I'm talking to you leaders in this house, the losses that we as leaders must embrace and absorb are, I believe, greater than the norm. And I'm just like most people. I want to minimize it. I want to deny. I want to distract. I want to blame. I want to get angry. Some of you even want to medicate pain. I know what that feels like. And this is the hard tonic that leads me to face deaths. Why? Because I understand now that new gifts emerge. It's painful. Lost years are loveless years. I could talk about that. A division comes to your family. Alienation. Alienating loved ones. Children growing up. Those years can't be recovered. A marriage quietly endures, and in which love has been, you know, burning low for many years. I just wish I could be loved like that. Or, you know, you haven't yet met the person you'd like to meet, and it feels like the years are just moving on and you can never get them back. The locusts, you feel like, have eaten them. And then lost years are rebellious years. I could talk about that. Lost years are misdirected years. Or lost years, I could teach on this, they are Christless years. But I came today to tell you, church, that because Jesus has purchased every blessing for you at the cross, including restoration, church, you better receive this. The Spirit of God is saying that you can believe God this year to redeem all the time that has been lost. God's heart is to restore to you whatever the locust, by the way, a picture of the enemy, has eaten, especially those lost years. If you have been living in regret, if you have been living in shame over years lost to whatever, addiction, depression, despair, never-ending series of failures, God is willing and able to turn it around. It is not over. If you believe it, shout right now and give God praise. Is that all you got, church? Clap your hands and give God praise. Hallelujah. I don't have time to give you my own personal story today, how God has brought restoration into my own life. And I've realized that God is a restorer. He is a restorer. And if you have experienced whatever, years lost, don't remain in discouragement. Don't become bitter. Choose to tell Jesus, Lord, I can't, but you can. You can restore to me what has been lost.
It's time for us as a church to stand up. I don't care what's going on in the world around us. We stand up and we say, Lord, you restore. And God will bring about his restoration of years lost, his renewal of your mind and your body and deeper relationship with him. He who loves you, the Bible says, and gave his only son to die for you, will make things right and give you more, more than what you lost, more than what was stolen. Anybody, watch, God knows how to bring good out of it. Anybody can bring good out of good, but only your God knows how to bring good out of bad. Wake up, church. I'm going to close with this reality because this is what Kim and I are believing for this year. One thought. Receive this prophetically. I am believing in every area of my life and church. If your pastor's believing for this, grab hold of it. In my own life, I am believing for at least 120% restoration. No, you didn't hear what I said. I said at least. And I know, I can tell some of you looking at me going, well, where do you get 120%? Based in the principle of restitution, by the way, in the law of the trespass offering. Watch this. This is pre-cross. They could believe for 120 if they under the old could believe for at least 120. How much more us who live in a new and better covenant? It's not me. Look at this. Leviticus 6. When anyone sins by deceiving his neighbor regarding something entrusted to him, or by, here it is, robbing, loss, or cheating, or threatening him, or if he has found something lost, lies about it, swears falsely regarding any of these sins that people commonly commit, when he sins and is found guilty, he must return what he stole or extorted, restore what was entrusted to him, return the lost thing he found or anything else about which he swore falsely. Here it is. He must make full compensation, add to it 1/5 more, and hand it over to the owner on the same day. So much revelation here. On the same day, he brings what's called the trespass offering. And here we see God's law detailing what a person must do to provide restitution to someone he's injured. And I want you to notice that this law states that he must make what? Full compensation and add to it 1/5 more and hand it over on the same day he brings a trespass offering. The full value of whatever was lost, defrauded, stolen, plus 1/5 is what? 120% of the original value. Now, think about that. This principle of restoration was under the old covenant of the law. Again, how much more we under the new covenant, how much more can we trust God for not just 120%, but much more? Why? Hebrews 8:6 says the new covenant that Christ passes on to us from God contains far more wonderful promises. Notice also, and I'll just close with this, that in Leviticus 6, 4, and 5, that the person brings his restitution on the day of the trespass offering. The trespass offering is a picture of what? Lift up your hands and see Jesus. It's a picture of Jesus. It's what Jesus did for us at the cross. He became our substitute and was judged in our place for every trespass we committed, so that now we can freely receive. We can freely receive. With hands lifted, say it out loud. Say, I can freely receive. Say, I can freely receive. Boy, every day this year, I want a church that will lift up their hands with a revelation of this gospel and say, I can freely receive. Say it out loud. I'll freely receive every blessing of God, including restoration for my life. I prophesy with every hand lifted in the name of Jesus, your best days are ahead of you. I prophesy over this house, you are increasers. Expect to be an increaser. I don't care what's going on in the world around us. Lift up your eyes in the same way that the Lord didn't want Ruth to just survive. He does not want you to just live through a miserable marriage. He wants to turn it around. He wants to restore you a loving, intimate relationship with your spouse. He doesn't just want your business to stay afloat this year. He wants your business to thrive. I'm calling on kings in this house, kings who will rise up. He doesn't just want you healed. He wants you healthier than before. He doesn't want the next 10 years, the next 15 years to be a repeat of the last 10 years, the last 15 years. Jesus never brings us out the same. He will increase. He will improve. He will promote. He will make everything better. And if I've got a church that believes it, jump to your feet right now. Lift up your hands and open up your mouth and just begin to thank him right now. Go! Lift up your hands, open up your mouth, and thank him right now for restoration.
Hallelujah. 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 Come on. You restore. You restore. You restore.
Thank him right now for restoration in your body, for restoration in your mind. Thank him right now for restoration in your relationships, in your marriage, in your money, in your business, in this new year. Lift up your hands. Prophesy. Prophesy. Prophesy over them. Yeah. Lift up those hands, church, if you believe it. I want to sing this song again. And there's a reason why I'm having the church open their mouth and say it out loud. Isaiah 42, 22, speaking of a people robbed, a people plundered. This blew me away, Joe, when I saw it this week. It says, no one said, restore. A people robbed, plundered. No one stood up, opened their mouth, and said, Lord, restore. It's time for the church to stand up and say, Lord, restore. You want to know why some of you have a hard time with this? Because it takes faith. That's why you've got to hear the gospel. It takes faith. That's why all year long you got to hear the gospel of God's grace. Every one of you lift up your hands. Every one of you, despite how possible the situation looks right now, God's for you and he's never going to give up on you. Out loud, church, prophesy. Say, Lord, restore. Say it again, Lord, restore. Say, faithful, faithful. Say it, say it. Prophesy.
What's lost, stolen, dead, what's broken, you restore, faithful, faithful, more than you.
Sing it one more time. But Ethan,
yes, sir.
The first four letters of the word restore are
S-T.
R-E-S-T.
Rest.
What's that say?
Rest.
Come on, Pastor.
This year, we're going to rest and receive God's restoration. It means this year, no more striving, no more struggling, no more straining, no more sweating. The gospel says that we rest. And while we rest, watch, our heavenly Boaz goes to work for us. That's why it says, you wait, you rest, son, daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he settles it. I declare, you can rest and receive God's restoration. Lift up your hands. Declare it again.
Come on and sing it like you mean it. Say, faithful, faithful, more than
you restore.
You restore.
And in thy shape.
You restore.
Hey.
What's lost.
Hey.
Stolen. Dead. Unbroken. You restore. You restore.
Sing it again.
Faithful. Faithful. More than able. You restore. You restore. What's lost.
Go sing it again. I'm not talking to everybody, but I'm talking to a specific group of people who heard prophetically today what the Spirit of God is saying. And there's an area in your life that you are believing for God's restoration. When we sing it again, if that's you, I want you to get out of your seat, if you're comfortable, and walk to me, because I want to pray a prayer of restoration over you before you step into a brand new year. Are you ready?
Yes.
Declare it right now. Declare it right now. Declare it right now. If that's you, come right now. Come right now if you're believing. Lower floor, upper tier, if that's you. Come on.
Dead, broken,
come on, make room. Spread out, spread out, spread out, make room. Come on.
Yes,
you will.
Lift up your hands, especially those of you that are right here in front of me. The word of the Lord for you in 2022, you rest and you receive God's restoration. It has nothing to do with laziness. I know people hear that word rest and they think it refers to a state in which nothing's accomplished. No, rest isn't just taking a spiritual nap or hibernating until you get to heaven someday. Rest refers, here it is, to abiding in Christ. And with hands lifted in the name of Jesus, I declare over you now these new covenant realities. Whatever those wasted years, broken dreams, wrecked relationship, squandered income, whatever your losses, this house, this church, every location, we are positioning ourselves to receive God's restoration. Out loud, say, I will rest and receive. Say it again, I will rest and receive. In Jesus' name, I declare over you now that you are the righteousness of God. Therefore, you are entitled to covenant favor. I declare over you now that the favor of God surrounds you. Therefore, it surrounds you everywhere you go and in everything you do. This house will expect the favor of God to be in full manifestation in our lives. Never again will we be without God's favor, because it rests upon you richly. It profusely abounds in you. You are part of the generation that is experiencing God's favor immensely, limitlessly, surpassingly. Therefore, I prophesy favor produces supernatural increase. I prophesy promotion. I prophesy honor. I prophesy increased assets. I prophesy greater visions, greater victories, recognition, prominence, preferential treatment, petitions granted, battles won in which you don't even fight. Restoration in the name of Jesus. The favor of God is on you. It goes before you. Therefore, your life will never be the same. God is a God of restoration, and He is able to restore whatever's been lost. Rest in Him and rest humbly. Look to Him for your supply this year. Look to Him for your restoration. I prophesy over you in the name of Jesus. You are an increaser. Through the cross, God has restored to you at least 120% and more of His health, His soundness, His protection, His favor, His wisdom, His provision. I declare in the name of Jesus, more than before. Say it, more than before, in Jesus' name. Declare it out loud, say it.
More than before.
If I have a church that believes it, say more.
More than before.
Over every area of your life, say
more than before.
This year looking forward, say
more than before.
Six more times.
More than before.
Five more.
More than before.
Come on, make a mass choir right here. Say it.
More than before.
Prophesy to everyone around you. Say
it. More than before.
Prophesy over every Calvary location.
More than before.
Every Calvary family. Say it.
More than before.
Two more times, say it.
More than before.
One more time, give it all you got, say it.
More than before.
Now shout and bless His name.
We receive it in the name of Jesus.
Is that all you got? Don't make me work it up. Just release it like you already believe. More seconds, go!
Give him praise.
Gonna drop a mic on somebody unplanned after he did that. I'm gonna speak this over you as we close. I hope that I see you for our in-person 11 a.m. service right here next week. Same crossover, same format, extended worship time of the prophetic. Would you lift one of your hands and allow me to speak this over you? As I was sitting in my seat, I saw this. I'm just gonna speak it. I had no clue he was gonna call me up, but this is what I see. Father, I thank you that some of us in this place still see ourselves as following the reapers, just gleaning barely enough to survive. The next chapter, some of us have lifted our eyes so that we see that there are bundle of sheaves that have been left for us for excess. And even more of us in this place recognize we've been married and we own the whole field. So we walk out of here recognizing we've already got it today in Jesus' name. And if you're glad for that, somebody ought to clap your hands because that's a revelation. You own the whole field. Thank you, Jesus. We'll see y'all next week. God bless you.
We encourage you to live generously and give generously. You can do that right there online on our app by searching and downloading Calvary Church CC. You can give on our website or you can text to give by texting Calvary IRV followed by the amount to 833-245-6183. And I encourage you to set up your reoccurring giving. Calvary, let's remain consistent and faithful in the face of inconsistency.